Our gospel reading today is taken from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. I want you to think about the game of tag as we work through this. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on him so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touching his garment, for she said, "Even if I touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." He was still speaking. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Ever play tag? You're it? I don't know. We played all kinds of crazy games, and tag was one of them. Tag, you're it, and then you had the plague that you tried to give to someone else, and you wanted to stay as much away as you could. No one wanted to be it. It's interesting. Jesus, at this place in his ministry, has become well known. Word got around. People started hearing about this rabbi who went around the Judean countryside loving, healing, and forgiving. Bits and pieces, stories here and there, interesting things. Who knows what all they heard? But what they heard was, well, good news. And we know that when people hear stuff about Jesus, when seeds of what Christ has done are planted here and there, scattered, the Holy Spirit takes that stuff. And he plants faith in the hearts of those people that hear that. And in our gospel reading today, we hear of two. At the same time, we hear about all kinds of people touching Jesus, pressing in on Jesus. The disciples can't figure out why he would ever say, "Who touched me?" But here's the deal. Faith is a different kind of touch. Certainly, anyone who has read the New Testament and the Gospels specifically realize that people were grabbing at Jesus for all kinds of reasons. And here we kind of get this picture of Jesus being a rock star. Ooh, Jesus is around. Let's be around him. Let's see what's going on. But we see two people. One by the name of Jairus and a woman unnamed who reached out to Jesus in faith. 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 It's a different kind of touch. I mean, this is such an amazing portion of Mark's gospel. Not that there aren't amazing, they're not all amazing, but I mean, the cool thing about this is, you know, Jesus is, well, he's famous, he's popular, word's gotten around, and people want to see what's going on. But keep in mind, it's not just about seeing what's going on with Jesus. Jesus is more than just a pop culture figure. He's more than just someone who spends some time with. He actually provides things, gifts, that no one else can. So why weren't they all reaching out in faith? Well, for the same reason why we don't always reach out to Jesus in faith. Disciples can forget to draw upon the power of God by reaching out in faith to Jesus. I mean, certainly in the context of a divine service with our music, with our liturgies, with our scriptures and our sermons, we want people to hear and be moved to reach out. Hopefully you've been reaching out to Jesus in our time together in different ways. Maybe reaching out for yourself, reaching out for others. That's what faith does. But keep in mind, the danger is that the same thing can happen today. There can be people just showing up, but they're not saying prayers, they're not reaching out, they're not trusting in, they're not looking to, they're not giving others to. They're just kind of a part of the crowd, but not a part of the church. They're not a part of the faith, because faith is a different kind of touch. Certainly, in Jesus' ministry, people were reaching out in anger, reaching out in bitterness and jealousy. They were reaching out in all kinds of ungodly ways, trying to get a hold of Jesus. But faith is a different kind of touch. Jairus, however he heard, the ruler of the synagogue, he heard about Jesus. He comes, bows down, asks for help. That's what faith does. And so Jesus says, okay. And as they're making their way, another, a woman without a name. And it's fascinating to hear her thought process. You know, perhaps she was hoping she could have a word with Jesus, maybe talk about what's going on. I mean, think about what she's gone through. She's gone to all kinds of doctors. She's spent all of her money, and she hasn't gotten better. She's gotten worse. Now, it's not that doctors and money don't have a purpose, but they are no substitute for Jesus. And so she's thinking she could have maybe an audience like the ruler of the synagogue did. Who knows? But she's convinced he can help her. And yet she can't talk with him. So does she just give up and go home? Is that what faith does? Had a fun chapel with the kids. Chapel's always fun, but we were talking about the friends that brought their paralyzed friend because they wanted to get him connected to Jesus. And so they bring him to the house where Jesus is, and there's so much going on. There's no way they can get him in on the pallet. So does faith just give up and go home? No. But sometimes faith has to say, let's talk about this. Sometimes faith has to wrestle with options. I mean, the woman has to wrestle with her own faith. And what's her conclusion? It's actually in there. She says, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. I mean, she's trusting that just touching. Of course, the guys with the paralytic, they decide to do some roof demolishing. So they take the roof apart. They haul their buddy up. Do you suppose their buddy's kind of wondering about all this? They lower him down through the roof. They get him to Jesus. Sometimes faith has to stop and say, well, let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. You know, just because we believe in Jesus doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Sometimes it's just going to have to be a conversation. We don't know who figured it out among those four. We know that the woman was led as she had to stop and think in faith that all she had to do was touch him. And that's what she did. That's what she did. And of course, Jesus says, who touched me? I mean, it really is kind of silly when you think about it. And of course, the disciples get it. What? Everyone's pressing in on you. How in the world can you say, who touched me? You know, so Jesus is teaching. He's teaching his disciples. I mean, who else could be reaching out to Jesus, drawing on his power to face the challenges of their day? The disciples. Or was it only those two that had any problems in their life that they needed help with? I don't think so. Again, how many people today who call themselves Christians live out their day without drawing upon the power of the Lord to face their day? Or to ask the Lord to help others in their lives? I mean, we're learning too, aren't we? Through this process, as we bear witness to these two in this story whose faith is a different touch upon Jesus. Who touched me? He says. Well, everybody's pressing in. How can you say, well, I know this is different. Isn't it fascinating? Jesus says, power came out of me. And again, that's what faith seeks. Faith seeks what it cannot have itself anywhere else. In fact, faith holds onto its object of faith. You know, faith gives up on self. Faith gives up on looking around for answers. Faith trusts in Christ. He is, and the whole body of theology around the doctrine of God is the content of our faith. And it's all given to us in a simple statement. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And believing in Jesus, we have all that he offers. And faith seeks those gifts as often as we need it. Faith is a different kind of touch. Faith is a different kind of tag. Tag, you're it, Lord Jesus. I don't know what to do. Tag, you're it. Help me with this. Help me with that. Help them with this. Help them with that. You know, we see Jairus asking for his daughter, 12-year-old daughter. We see the woman seeking help for herself. There's place in your life and my life to do it for ourselves and to reach out in faith to Jesus for the people in our lives. Whether they're friends or enemies, talking to the Lord about the needs that we have. The needs that we have. It's so beautiful to see, you know, faith in action. And of course, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Keep in mind, it's not that her faith is somehow her possession. It's that faith helps her understand that Jesus is all that she needs to help her in need. Now, it could have been that she would have been lined up with the right doctor. She could have used her finances in the right ways. But the key thing in all of this is seek help from the Lord when you need it, wherever you need it, across anything you need it for, and see what he does in opening doors and making a way. Because that's what it's all about. And what's fascinating about this whole thing is these people, this woman, unnamed, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, they were getting their bits and pieces from people just sharing what a rabbi was doing in the Judean countryside. I mean, and the Holy Spirit used those little kernels of truth to grow faith in their hearts and minds. Do you think the people sharing what was going on saw themselves as evangelists or missionaries? And yet, what is the outcome of telling others what Christ does? It's to grow faith within them. It's so amazing. It's so awesome. That's what happens when we share what God has done for us in Jesus. It changes our lives. It changes our lives. The challenge with something like this is then we want to start thinking that our life with Jesus is kind of a name it and claim it. Well, then why are things going so poorly in this area or that area? What about this? I still keep praying and it's not answered. And of course, unbelievers love to throw this in our face. How in the world can a loving God let this happen? We call it theodicy. Why is there suffering at all? Why do we have to go through difficult things? And again, there's a way for us to understand this. And Paul explains it. In fact, he said to the Corinthians, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. In other words, simply put, they went through all kinds of problems and challenges, and look at them now. Now, when you say that to someone who's suffering and struggling, you know, don't be surprised if they don't want to just punch you in the mouth. Oh, well, this will really be great and what ends up happening for you. Hardly something I want to hear. Hardly something you want to hear. And yet this is what God does. When we struggle and when we're wondering why, even reaching out and touching Jesus, we don't understand why things continue the way they do. Does faith give up? Does faith go home? Does faith leave their buddy on the mat outside the house saying, well, they can take care of him. We're done. No. Faith continues to hold on. Faith continues, even though the answers aren't coming and the healing isn't clear and the hope seems to be without any other evidence other than, I know the Lord is my Savior, and I'll keep praying. There is something that happens, though, as we go through that. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 5. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. All solid stuff. All solid stuff. You know, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. He's done it. We have it. We stand on it. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. So in the process of reaching out in faith, touching Jesus by faith, asking him for ourselves, asking him for others. We are in the process of growing in our character, in our endurance, in our patience, in our hope. And we do all that because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's fascinating. When Jairus learned that his daughter was dead, what did Jesus say to him? Don't be afraid, just believe. I mean, how many ways does fear mess with you? How many ways does cynicism mess with you? How many ways does I may as well just give up, get pretty close to you? And yet, to the core of us, God's love has been poured so that we don't give in to those things. We can trust the Lord. We can go forward in faith and not fear. We can see what he has in store for us. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, that's why we're here, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to hear that we're forgiven, to sing songs reaching out to him in praise, to say our prayers for ourselves and for others, to encourage each other. That's why we're here. That's why we're tuning in, so that we can together reach out to Jesus and mob him in faith. And while many reach out in anger and hatred and fear, we reach out trusting in him by faith, because faith is a different kind of touch. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.